I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I am joined by my teenage crush, Paul Dunan. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to tell you that before you address it. Did you have screaming girl fans, Paul? Was it like Beatlemania for Sol Patrick? Come on. You and Will Mellor out on the lash. I bet you it was. I bet it was carnage.
It was pretty good. It was nice. It was fun, I tell you. Yeah,
it was nice.
It was amazing. And at times, it was. Yeah, I mean, we worked a lot. I mean, it's amazing how much we were always working. And then when we did go out, I suppose Liverpool were kind of like, oh, it's the Hollyoaks lot, because like they knew we worked there. So. Yeah. I think it's only when you start to like go to other parts of the country that you realise, shit, they really like us.
Did you? Because us on Geordie Shore, like, I know we're a bit later and stuff, but it was still a similar format. Lasses went wild for the lads. Did you do a lot of nightclub appearances?
No, we weren't allowed to. We weren't allowed to do any back then. No. There was, we got to understand, there was no social media. Yeah. There was nothing. Not even Facebook had been invented. Yeah. Not even Napster was alive then, I don't think. He was still in nappies. No, seriously, it was literally just maybe we would turn on the lights in Chester and E17 would perform and we would.
Sounds amazing.
But the original E17.
Yeah. Brian Harvey and that.
And yeah, man. And it was just like, that's the type of stuff. But what we did do was a lot of magazine shoots because the mags were massive then. So the smash hits and the kind of, you know, whatever they were back then. But what I would do is I'd be cheeky and I'd always, and Ben Hull, who played Lewis, he used to laugh. We saw him recently because the guy that played Finn, James Redman, had his 50th, which is unbelievable. It was 50. I always thought he was younger than that, but anyway. Sorry, Jim. And everyone was there. It was like a reunion. Like Nick Picard, who's still in it, plays Tony.
Yeah.
And a few people were there that like it was just epic, and even Vernon came, and we were all just chatting about. Back in the day, and Ben was like, how did you get away with it where you used to go to the producer and say, right, I want to represent Hollyoaks, so we need to go to the MTV Europe Music Awards in Italy or whatever. And they would go, good idea, Paul. Yeah. And I somehow would be like, okay, so can you write them a letter, right, to MTV and say that Sol wants to come and represent? And they, I suppose they, the publicity department, I used to come up with these ideas. Little did I know I had ADHD then. I was constantly scheming and like coming up with these brilliant ideas for them, you know. And we did, and we ended up, so I got to pick one person. I picked the girl that played my sister, and we went to to Milan. And it was the most incredible night. It was just phenomenal. And you'd go there and like, even there, because I think a lot of English people would go to these things, and we went to the one in Ireland and the Mobos, and they're the places, and the Soap Awards, obviously, that you would realise the fan base was just out of, like, it was amazing. And then the fan base, not just with the Joe Public, but with celebrities, with musicians, with people that would love to just chill on a Sunday, come down TV or Hangover TV, whatever you like to indulge, and basically watch the omnibus, you know.
Yeah.
And at this one in Milan, we got I was matey with the, well, I still am, you know, with the Prodigy. And back then they won Best Dance Act, and they were like, do you want to come to this party? And I was like, yeah, all right. And so Tasha, who plays my sister, she was like, where are we going? I said, I don't know, but we're going somewhere good. Trust me. So we're in the bus with the Prodigy, and we end up pulling outside Gianni Versace's house. Donatella's now like owns this, but it was Gianni's. He obviously, because he'd been shot, so he gave it to her. So like, and God rest his soul, me, Keith, all of our Liam, Maxim, and Tasha, we walked down this red carpet. We got there well early, and we end up like literally the toilets were gold Versace toilets, like everything. So me and Keith, we go in the toilet, we rack one out, we're like, yeah, fucking on the Versace toilets, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, I've got to nick one of these ashtrays, because they are like, they're looking like proper gold, man. And they're heavy.
Yeah, I bet they were. I bet they weren't plated. I bet they were solid.
Honestly, and we go up, and I swear I've never in my life seen people there like it. I mean, it was incredible. Madonna's label, because she'd taken on Prodigy on her American label, Maverick. So we're sitting on that table, and there's Madonna sitting next to me, and we're just like, literally, me and Tasha are looking at each other going, oh my fucking God, what am I going to say? Like, and we're just having this like 7-course meal. Yeah. And then suddenly I get this call, this like, soul. And I'm like, I look over and it's George Michael just screaming, soul.
No. Yeah.
And I'm like, and he's sitting with Kenny, and I'm like, hi. And I go over and he goes, me and Kenny, we love you. Every Sunday we lie in bed and we just love soul. We think he's such a bad boy, and we just think he is the greatest thing on TV. And you know, and you're just like, how the hell? But it was really well watched by other people in the industry. So they're like saying, you know, they really enjoy this, you know, watching this omnibus every Sunday. And they're like, without fail, every Sunday for them, it's like, you know, they just lie in bed and it's just easy watching. And they just, they were really into my character and found him really like relatable and just kind of, you know, and they genuinely thought, like a lot of people said, like, you're really good at it. You know, you're good little actor. And I think that's how Liam felt as well, Howlett and stuff. And, you know, and I'm like obsessed with them, and it's just like mutual love, you know. And
that
finally, I felt a little bit. Like,
me more than Paul,
yeah,
it?
I felt respected, man. I felt like there was respect, you know. And same with a lovely guy Rob from Massive Attack. He was the same. Like, and now Ronnie Size, who I'm like up in Bristol now, and like we're like best mates. And you know, he was the same. Like, everyone was like, we loved that show, and they had a lot of respect for me. And I've stayed friends with a lot of these people because of Soul, man. You know. Well, because of me, but at the same time, it's like, it's great when you like someone from their music or what they do, but you also then think, oh, they're a good person as well. Yeah. You know, I love that when you actually meet someone and you don't know what to, but they turn out to be wicked as well. And that's what's great. And it's a shame when you really, really love someone and when you meet them and they're not what you know, and you're like, oh no, he was a right dick.
Well, they say it never meet meet your heroes, don't they? But obviously in your case...
I
know.
Well, I wasn't a hero, don't get me wrong.
No, but I meant, God, George Michael, all these people. Like, that must have just been, especially for a young lad, so incredible. You, quite quick, I mean, this is an area that I know a little bit more about. Like, you transitioned from acting into the world of reality TV. And, like, obviously Love Island now is this huge reality TV juggernaut, and it's not a celebrity one anymore. It does churn out celebrities. But when you did it, it was the celeb one, and I remember it just being completely fucking iconic. Like, the first series you were in there were people like Lady Isabella Harvey, Liz McLennan, Jane Middlemiss, Fran Cosgrove. What was it like to be part of, like, a huge part of pop culture like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had no idea. So after after Hollyoaks and everything, and after, like, doing the show with Zoe and Jay at the Priory, I kind of, like, I had a bit of a situation, let's say, with Rachel, and we split up, and it was such a, it was a shame, you know. We'd lost a little baby, and it was very sad. And
I'm really sorry.
And it was, she was older than me, and she really wanted it. And I was young. I was 23. I didn't know what to do or how to handle the kind of, you know, to maybe be there as much as I should have been for her with that kind of trauma. And I suppose the only way I knew how to deal with it was to escape. And I did. And I kind of, you know, my using went up a bit, and I realized, right, that's it. I want to go out to LA. And I went out to LA for 3 years, and I loved it, but that's when things got really serious for me in my addiction. But also, you know, I think rejection's massive out there. You know, like, I was doing all right, but the rejection was too much. And every time you get knocked back, you know, and you get really close to something, it's hard to deal with. And the, again, you know, I would go, my default setting would be, right, get stoned or whatever. And then I came back after 3 years, and my mum was like, you can't keep going back there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'm going to make it.
Had she noticed a change in you?
She was like, why are you so skinny? What? Why? You look brown, but that's about it.
Like, and a twiglet.
It's got no money. You're, like, really thin, but you've got the best suntan I've ever seen. What's going on?
Do you ever watch Benidorm?
Yeah, well, a little bit.
Do you remember the woman on the electric scooter? Madge. That's just who I'm imagining, Paul, when you came back from LA.
Like David Dickinson.
I understand that, babe. Like, I've never been to LA myself, but I've heard a little bit from people. Like, I've spoken to Kelly Brook about, and it's like, it's really cutthroat, isn't it? And, like, if you are quite a sensitive soul and someone who's predisposed to coping with traumas, rejection, all these things, but with substance abuse, I can imagine it's just a feel. Like, I imagine it's just a field day.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard, and like, especially when your dream all your life was to really make it out in America, and, you know, when that's not quite going your way, and then you're making it worse on yourself by getting messed up, but thinking you can still handle it and do really well, but obviously you have to be on top of your game, and mostly do the American accent, which I'm, well, at the time was shit. I'm better now, but yeah, it was really hard. Yeah, she's laughing. Fuck it.
I was shit at it. I just think your self-awareness is really endearing, Paul. Like, honestly, like, you're really, really honest.
I was so bad.
But can I ask, so then, obviously, you're trying to make it in America, and quite gone. Is that what led you into reality TV?
Yes, that's what I'm coming to. Sorry, I'm a bit long with my answers.
And, don't be daft. I'm having a very nice day.
Always a story. and I get back anyway. So my mom's giving me this kind of pep talk, like, you ain't going back. And I was like, well, and then I get a call. Good old Sylv. Hi, Sylv.
Sylv's been grafting again. What's she got for you?
She's been working in the background. You know that. She's been dying for me to come back. And she goes, right, Paul, there's this thing. You go to Fiji, right? All you got to do is you just got to maybe find someone that you like, and that's it. And you'll get paid this, and and they're all going to be good looking people.
Can I ask a really, really tacky question? Was it a big wedge?
To be honest, I don't think I was. It was all right. It wasn't that. I mean, when they asked me back the next year, it was.
Yeah. You fucking knew your worth then, son.
Oh, yeah. They realised they got a bargain. So.
As long as you didn't give them a bog off, like next year, like, I've done it once, I'll do this one free.
No. Because I went through hell after the first, like, you know. So I was like, yeah, I'll do the second one. As soon as I'm out of rehab, I'll be back. You know what I mean? Ridiculous, isn't it? Like, yeah. You know, repeating the same mistake, expecting a different result. You know, insanity. So anyway, I was like, but so still, what? Who am I playing then? And yeah. She was like, no, you're playing yourself. You're yourself. I'm like, what do you mean? She was like, well, it's that reality thing. I was like, well, what is reality? Like, I had no idea what reality TV was. It had just been invented by someone. Tell me who he is and I want to have a chat.
just want to chat. Just want to be friends.
Who invented this idea of people just being them? Well, I suppose it's been around a long time. We just didn't realise. You know, they called it documentary back then.
Yeah. They called it social experiments. That was the first foray into the world of reality TV. Because if you remember Big Brother, it was called a social experiment. Right. It was just the first step to reality TV. But sneaky how quickly it took control.
And I suppose they took Big Brother and decided, let's do a dating show type Big Brother.
And let's make it sunny. Let's make it sunny.
And let's make it look incredible. Yeah. And so it was ITV1, Granada production, bigger production, no joke, I swear, Vic, than I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah. I bet it was huge, mate. What numbers was it pulling in, Paul? Must have been.
They had their own island, just the crew, and that's 600 people crew.
God.
600 crew.
It's a film. It's like a film.
It was mental, and then we had our own island, and you know, it took 2.5 days to get there. It was mental, and I woke up. I was like, "Where the fuck am I?" And then, and all I wanted was a big black sack of weed, but because that's it. That's all. I was like, "Right, where am I getting my weed?" You know, like it was bad because I was after all the LA and everything. I was just like, "Whoa." Like, I'm doing this job because it's hot, there's going to be nice girls, and you're going to pay me, that's it, I'm just going to chill. And I wasn't thinking about the telly whatsoever. I didn't even know what they show, what they don't show. And when you got there, the thing is, I'm getting stoned, and they're like, right, okay, you're going to go in tomorrow, where you're all going to be going in, so we're going to have to take that off from you now, and we'll keep it safe, don't worry. And because, you know, it was like a bin bag. I'm not joking, like a big black bin bag of this Fiji and kind of bush weed. Like, I'm like, right, okay. So what, I can't take Emmy in the hat? No. Right. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do, right? I just don't know what was going on. I thought I was on a lad's holiday or something. So then I meet the other boys and we all get on jet skis and we jet ski down this ocean and just arrive at this house on this island.
Was like incredible. Shipwrecked.
And we get there and then there's these girls waving. We're like, oh yeah, aren't you the one that got in trouble with John Leslie sucking his dick or something? And it's Abby Titmuss.
I forgot Abby Titmuss was there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Rebecca, you're the one that shagged David Beckham. Oh yeah. Oh, you're, You're Lee Sharp, aren't you? Don't you play for Man U? It's like, what the hell? And we're all just, it was hilarious. So then we do this show and you know, and it was the best time ever. But obviously, I'm not much of a drinker. And when I drink, you know, after two, I start to get, and obviously I was getting a bit paranoid. I was getting a bit anxious and I didn't know what was going on. And I ended up like basically detoxing off of all the drugs I was doing for the last God knows how many years on screen.
Oh, babe. And was that like, obviously as a viewer, and I think I was probably like, obviously I was younger. I don't remember being aware of specifically what you were going through, but I remember it looked like you were having a really hard time, babe.
Yeah. I think in the beginning, yeah, I think I went through, you know, you go through all these different emotions because suddenly you get your feelings back because you're not numb anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they say in recovery, the best thing about recovery is you get your feelings back, but the worst thing about recovery is you get your feelings back.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's a double-edged sword, babe.
Yeah.
So that feeling like you were waking up again, it must have been exciting but scary, and quite frankly, as being as someone who's been through reality TV, just not something that should have been played out on screen.
Well, no, and it's not their fault either, because I didn't know, so how would they know?
Yeah, of course.
I was totally unaware of what addiction was or anything. I had no idea what was going on with me. I had no idea, it was just such a confusing time. But all I knew is that I wanted some sort of connection. And I connected with everyone, but at the same time, I wore my heart on my sleeve, and you know, my kind of love addiction-y kind of ways came out, but I was forgetting because you couldn't see any cameras; they were hidden behind bloody palm trees or black cloth. So you know, and you might hear a cameraman, you know, squeeze one out now and again, but that was about it. So like that would be the reminder.
Yeah,
and then they like bringing Playboy models on and shit, and like it's like, what are you doing to me? And Abby Titmus, and you know, and then, and I don't know. And I'd swear, thank God for Lady Isabella, because she was just really, she understood me, because she's also in recovery. She had her own stuff with food. So we just got each other, even though I didn't understand what an eating disorder was then. And she kind of understood but I didn't know I had it. It's funny how two minds that are the same just link, you know.
Those twin flames, that sort of vibe. Yeah.
So it was great. But then after it, I've never been more famous in my entire life. Like, seriously, all 4 years on Hollyoaks, didn't even touch a tiny bit of the fame that I got from 6 weeks on Celebrity Love Island.
And right, so then, you've obviously gone through a load of stuff, babe, when you're on there. And I can imagine at times quite traumatic. But there must have been some really high moments for you in there as well, surely.
Amazing. Just the most amazing moments of you know, just camaraderie and fun with everyone. And like at night, we would try and escape to this other island that we could hear that was banging techno every night. And we were just like, who's going to swim out there? Who's going to do it? Michael Greco played Beppe in EastEnders. Every day I'd do this thing called Lilo Banter, where I would make a celebrity lie on a Lilo, and I would create this. I created this character called Lionel Banter, and it would be Lalo Banter. And it would be like, I'd put on this stupid Northern accent that I couldn't really do. But it was like, so he was from all over the North, and I'd wear like really crazy clothes and sunglasses, and because it was just a joke, I could get any answers out of these people, but I was doing it cleverly, kind of like wanted to really know. So Rebecca, you know, okay, Rebecca, right? Did you actually shag David Beckham? You know? And come on, or was it just, you know, you trying to get a bit of money? Or like I'd say to Abby, so what was it like sucking John Leslie's cock, you know? And you know, and I'd be lying on this Lilo on the swimming pool. She'd be like, yeah, it was lovely. Like, and what was it like though when the video came out? You know, is that why you're here, because of that video? And she'd be like, because you don't really have a talent though, do you, Abby? You know, and you know, and they like were funny with me, the boys. But you know, funny enough, now we're really good mates.
Yeah.
And we ended up doing a spin-off show with ITV2 called Callum Fran and Dangerous Dynamo, where we toured all over Route 66 in America, like the Simple Life that the Paris Hilton did with Nicole Richie, and that was awesome. And since, you know, even after that, like we've matured, we've become, but me and Fran, we had a big fight on there because the alcohol got too much for me and I got too paranoid and I started to believe people didn't like me. But the times when we were doing fun things in the day and there was no booze involved, that was when I was at my best and happiest, and I realized actually I don't need drink, I don't need drugs to be fun.
Yeah.
To be happy.
That's a huge part of recovery, is realizing that. And like, you know what, Paul, for all you're saying, like, oh, I drank too much or I had this row or whatever, like predominantly what people remember about you is that you're a really nice guy and you are so much fun and you do just wear your heart on your sleeve. Like, those are the memories I have of watching you on all of these amazing shows, God. You know? So please don't be too hard on yourself. And it seems as though you've done, I mean, right, I have to ask again. Okay. Literally. Favourite ever reality TV show you've done and least favourite, go.
Favourite reality TV show I've done would probably be maybe Celebrity Big Brother.
Honestly, babe, you see, I thought you were going to say least favourite because that was pretty explosive, right?
I quite liked it because I was so used to rehab that I basically found it really easy. Like, everyone wanted to escape, and I was like, this is piece of piss compared to bloody treatment.
Oh, my God. Okay, then. So that, because it felt like you were robbing a living, but what about...
The worst thing was, it was like rehab with booze that I couldn't drink. Because everyone was getting, you know, so, but I enjoyed Big Brother. I did enjoy that. I don't know why I really enjoyed it, but I did. I was trying to think of other shows, but go on.
No, but then go on, then what's your least favourite then, if that was your favourite?
My least favourite, like, I had my own show called Test Drive My Girlfriend, and Test Drive My Girlfriend for ITV2, where I was this Cupid, like this love coach, and I enjoyed it, but at the same time, I think, I don't know, there was something kind of missing from what, I don't know if I want to blame that one, but yeah, I wasn't feeling it as much. I got to take these different girls out on dates, and then I would link them up with my guys, and then my guys would wear an earpiece, and I would talk to them and direct them how to.
Sounds quite cute.
On the date, and it was good, it was fun, but I think the process of it, like I had to bring a recovery person with me to make sure that I didn't go off the rails and got, you know, and I just didn't like that kind of someone watching over me. It was probably good they did, but maybe I wasn't in the best place at the time. But I did it, and I'm gutted. I kind of really felt that had legs, that show, and we never got a second series. But, you know, it is what it is. I could probably think of some other ones that I didn't love. But, most of the jobs I've done, I've enjoyed, I've got to say.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You seem like a guy who kind of like very much doesn't dwell and lives in the moment and always forges forward. And I think like I wanted to ask you if you had any regrets, but I kind of feel like I know the answer to that. Like you seem like you just take life like anything that comes at you as a lesson.
I don't think I always said I never want to have any regrets in life, and like I thought at times I did, but actually if I look now, of course there are times where I wish I wouldn't have done certain things, but they're all, pain is a gift, and they're all lessons. And now I can look at why those things happened. And actually, they were all for a reason. And, you know, it's amazing when you think your addiction is the worst thing that could have ever happened to you. But actually, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because I would never have got to study myself and my illness. And I would never have got to find out about ADHD and addiction. And I would never have got to actually help others now. So I can actually turn it on its head and see it as a positive rather than a negative.
And you know, there's a saying, isn't there? And it's like rock bottom will teach you stuff that mountaintops never will. Wow. And I think it's super, like, it is really poignant. Like, you know, when you're flying high in your career and everything's going well and everyone loves you, like, it's really easy to not take anything from that time and just be a bit of an arsehole. But you know, when times get rough and stuff and you have to really pull yourself out of a hole, or you have to, like, you have to really fight with any of your issues, I feel like that's when you learn what you're really made of.
Yeah.
Where are you, can I ask, in like your stage of recovery now, Paul? Do you feel strong, healthy?
Yeah, I do. I feel good. I mean, I you know, every day is something that I have to practice. Something I'm constantly working on, like, today's all right. I set myself up for the day by prayer and meditation. I reach out to someone to see how they are. I'll go to a meeting later. I will, like, every day I do stuff for my recovery. I wake up. What am I talking about? I had a one-to-one with my therapist before I spoke to you, 11 till 12. Like I genuinely, if I don't do something for, I wake up and I say, what am I doing for my recovery today? Because if I don't do something, yeah, then it slips, and addiction doesn't take a day off ever. So I could be 10 years, and if I start taking days off and drop stuff out, it will, because it's doing press ups right now, waiting for me to jump on me. And it's very cunning, baffling, and powerful, is what it says, and it's true. And it has stung me and bit me in the arse without me looking before. And that's why it wants me to get me on other ways, like if I shop too much, or if I, you know, flirt too much, or text too, you know, like any addiction, it will try and get me back to like my drug of choice, and that's what will bring me to my knees again. So I've got to be really I have to be very,
you've got to be on your guard.
Yeah,
like you've got to be, yeah, it keeps you on your toes, babe. And I feel like being fastidious, like you're telling me you're being now, that is the way you cope with it. You stay one step ahead.
I have to. And it's not like it's not hard. It's not, I enjoy it because I have a better day when I've got recovery in my life and I'm working a program. When I don't, like, things go off, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any advice for anyone who's listening to this? I mean, we're in January, babe, and I'm not any single second insinuating that like things are worse at any single time of the year, but Christmas can be a really triggering period for people.
Yeah.
And do you know, like, so do you have any advice for people who are struggling with addiction, feeling like there's unhealthy habits creeping into their life? Like, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, like, biggest thing is ask for help. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, and it's not just, like, obviously if you don't know any professionals and you feel like you can't really access that, which is bullshit, because you can. There's so much out there. There's so much free help out there, you know, especially in fellowship meetings, CAA, ANA, whatever you want to go to, OA, which is eating, you know, CODA, codependency. But there's also your doctor. There's also, you know, the local drug and alcohol agency. But if you don't want to touch any of those areas, then just to take the power out of it, which is take it out your brain, out your mind, because it centers in the mind, this disease. It's stinking thinking. It's that stinking thinking that will mess you up. And you've got to not do what your head tells you. Do the opposite. So it's basically taking it out of your head, not keeping it a secret, because secrets keep us sick. And telling a friend, telling someone, telling your mum, telling your dad, just getting it out of your voice, because that takes the power out of it. And obviously, they don't always have the answer, but just to not keep it inside. Don't keep this stuff inside, because, you know, as I mentioned before, there was a lot that I'm sure, you know, people like Caroline Flack and people like Mike and stuff like that, Pathetis and all those people that felt so like they couldn't say or get help and access that help, and pride kills. And in the end, it's, you know, you just think, well, I there's no other way to go, and they kill themselves. And it's like, that doesn't have to be your solution at all. That doesn't have to be the answer. People get it now. The stigma is not as bad. It's still there. But like, if you're using and you don't want to tell anyone because you're full of shame, shame is toxic, that shame. You know, you've got to tell someone, but someone that you know is not going to judge. Well, someone that understands it. That's why meetings are great. Strangers, I've told so much shit to strangers because they're addicts and they get it. They get it. And to be honest, addicts are so selfish anyway. They're only worrying about themselves. So they're not even going to remember what you told them. But the fact is, they understand, yeah. You know, like, and I know they're very, when you're in recovery, you're selfless. But what I'm saying is, because it's very, very, it's a real self-centered disease as well. And it's no one judges. So if you go and tell someone that suffers with that stuff, they're not going to judge you. They're going to go, oh yeah, I know that. I've done that.
I just say, like, wow, Paul, that's such honest and really, I think, really helpful advice. And I think a lot of people will take a lot from that. So thank you. Thank you for just being a lovely guest. And actually, like, I know people say, oh, never meet your heroes and all the rest of it. But you were one of mine from TV when I was younger. And I've just absolutely loved chatting to you. And it's so nice to see you've turned a corner and you're making all these positive changes. Like, you look great, mate. So I just hope this, long may this continue. And I hope you continue winning your battle with your addiction. Before I let you go, here at Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a little bit of a pearl of wisdom, and you have been fucking chock full of it today, mate, so I'm sure you're going to rise to the occasion here. It feels like what I'm seeing in front of me right now is the very best version of Paul Dunan. So I want to know what your secret is to being the very best you can be.
Oh, well, I think thank you so much, Ricky. You've been an absolute star, and I've been dying to meet you, you know, and I just shouted at Coach Trip because I know that you are really friendly with Soph and all of that lot. And I just, you know, I've loved, you know, doing that show recently and spending time with them. And I just feel that, yeah, you're one person that I always kind of thought, she knows the score, she knows what she's doing, and the stuff that you're doing is amazing. And especially on Instagram, I just see, like, yeah, you're like second guessing people think, oh, it's going to be a this picture or that, and then you're like, no, that actually isn't what I'm trying to do here. And you're so honest and real with what, and it's like, wow, that's clever. So I just think it's brilliant. It's actually, I was just on my period, that's all it was, you know, whatever. And I think, fucking, that's brilliant. That's that's cheap. So good for you. And, like, well done you for being you and doing what you're doing. Because I tell you that, we're doing all right. And I think we just need to keep it up. So the secret of this stuff for me, and it's not always easy, is to be honest. You know,
yeah.
It's like, there's the how, okay? So how do I, you know, really access this secret? And it's honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. So if I'm open-minded and I'm willing, yeah, to learn, not, oh, I know it all, don't tell me, mate. Yeah, but I'm open to suggestions. I'm open for criticism or constructive critique, you know, and I'm willing to change. I'm willing to better myself. You know, betterment is a massive thing. And I'm honest about that. And I'm honest about what's going on. I'm honest about whether I've done something wrong or not. Then I think I've got a good chance in life. And that's how. HOW, honesty, open-mindedness and willingness. And that's not mine, that's what I've been taught, but I will give that away because it got
pay it forward time. Paul, pay it forward, yes. Oh, well, thank you so much for being such a lovely guest. I wish you the very best luck in the future and I can't wait to watch you on Coach Trip.
Thank you so much, Vicky, lots of love, thanks for having me.
You're welcome, babe. God bless.
Well, guys, that was Paul Dinan with what I'm sure we can all agree was a very honest, very raw and very authentic pod. And you know, whether you know Paul from his chaotic days on Love Island, his meteoric rise to fame on Hollyoaks, or more recently, his Coach Trip, I'm sure you don't know all of his story. And I found that really interesting and really illuminating and just really brave. Like, we've all struggled with something in our lives, you know, one thing or another. And whether you can't relate to all of his issues and stories about addiction, we can all admit to having obsessive thoughts once or twice in our life. And whether you have an unhealthy relationship with food, whether it's a toxic relationship with a fella, or whether you are actually struggling with addiction, I know for a fine fact you'll have been able to take something away from him there. I know I did, anyway. And I think Paul's right. We do all need a little bit more honesty in our lives. I hope you enjoyed that. If you do love Paul, he is currently on E4's Coach Trip. Make sure you watch that. If it's too late for you to catch it, I'm sure it'll all be on like E4 On Demand, their amazing streaming platform. If you are loving Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, please do all of the podcasty things. Tell your mates, leave a review. We're loving making this and hope you guys are loving it too. Have a great week, everybody.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.